Madoff gets the max.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Bernard Madoff has been handed the stiffest sentence possible, essentially a life term, for the biggest investment swindle in history. He stood before a judge in New York today declaring he'd live in torment for the rest of his life. But victims who lost millions told the judge their lives will never be the same, and they urged a stiff sentence. The judge came down on their side, deciding that Madoff should serve 150 years in prison. A ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court today could affect employment practices nationwide. The High Court decided in favor of a group of white firefighters who say they were unfairly denied promotions because of their race. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
The ruling reverses a decision Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor endorsed as an appeals judge, ensuring the case will be front and center at our Senate confirmation hearing next month. But aside from the political fallout, the case also carries big ramifications for employers. The High Court ruled that New Haven, Connecticut was wrong to throw out a written promotion exam after no black applicants passed it. Gary Chason is a labor relations professor at Clark University. He says the case clearly establishes the law on reverse discrimination.
When you don't like the results of a test, it doesn't mean you can throw it out, because not only are you helping some people who did poorly, but you're also hurting the people who did well on that test.
Chason says promotion tests are commonly used as a way to foster diversity in the workplace, but he says today's ruling means employers will have to be much more careful in how they craft those policies. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
The Supreme Court hit the stop button today on a bid by Hollywood studios and TV networks to block central storage systems for digital video recording. The ruling means cable TV providers could soon offer recording services that don't require a box in the customer's home. The remote storage exists on computer servers maintained by the cable company. Things are looking up on Wall Street this morning. The Dow is up almost 0.9%. The NASDAQ has advanced almost 0.5%. The S&P 500 has gained 0.75%. Honduran leaders who ousted their leftist president in a military coup over the weekend are vowing to resist diplomatic pressure to restore him to office. The more pertinent question may be, can they deal with economic pressure the U.S. or other nations might bring to bear? We spoke this morning to Professor Terry McCoy at the University of Florida's Center for Latin American Studies. He says the country is already in dire economic straits, and much of that stems from a lack of money sent home by Hondurans who've come here to the U.S. seeking work.
Those Hondurans who are in the United States now are in service industries, construction, and heavy layoffs in those areas meant that these people are losing their jobs, which means they have less income to send home.
I'm looking at an AP photo of a supporter of the ousted president in front of a street bonfire, and I was struck by the fact that in the background is a familiar American corporate logo, the golden arches of a McDonald's.
Yeah.
So the U.S. really does wield a lot of influence down there.
Yeah, I mean, Honduras, like most all Central American countries, is closely linked to the United States and has been historically. Hondurans are quite familiar with U.S. consumer goods. Many of them either have relatives or friends in the United States or have visited themselves. And so Hondurans and their economy are closely linked to the United States.
So given that, the fact that the U.S. has looked very unfavorably so far on this coup is going to be pivotal, yes?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens now, because there's been universal condemnation of the coup throughout the Western Hemisphere. Secretary of State Clinton and President Obama have both spoken out against it. So I think there's going to be a very solid block criticizing and demanding that Zelaya be restored to the presidency.
Terry McCoy is a professor at the University of Florida Center for Latin American Studies. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
It's become part of the script for states around the country to use deep tax breaks to lure film and TV productions. Now that budgets are tight, though, some critics are yelling cut. One such incentive in Pennsylvania may be on the chopping block, as Joel Rose reports.
The movie The Best and the Brightest stars Neil Patrick Harris as a guy who lives in a posh townhouse on New York's Upper East Side.
All right, here we go. Set, background, And action!
This tree-lined block certainly looks the part. The thing is, it's not in New York.
We're thrilled to be making this movie in Philly in our backyards. And the reason we're doing it is because of the tax credit.
Philadelphia lawyer Patty Weiser is one of the movie's producers. She's counting on a $750,000 tax credit from Pennsylvania. That's more than 20% of the film's budget. Plenty of other states have big incentives for film production, including Michigan, New Mexico, and Louisiana. But not everyone thinks they're paying off.
It makes no sense for the states to be competing against each other in this sort of blind auction.
Robert Orr directs the North Carolina Institute for Constitutional Law.
State and local revenues are way down, and yet we're going to subsidize the Hollywood film producers by giving these large tax credits to them.
In Pennsylvania, lawmakers are trying to close a $3.2 billion budget deficit, which is why State Senator Pat Vance wants to put the film tax credit on hold.
We need every dollar that we can scrape up. And we have $75 million sitting out there that perhaps could be utilized to avoid a tax increase.
According to a recent study, the state gave out more in tax credits than it got back in direct film-related revenues. But if you count all the jobs that are supported by the industry, the study found that the credit does pay for itself, and then some. And many of those jobs are at risk of leaving Pennsylvania, says Sharon Pinkinson of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office.
It's over, just like that. It will be a sudden loss to not just the film industry, but to all the support industries. I know that the car rental companies, the hotels, the restaurants are going to take a gigantic hit.
Pinkinson and other tax credit supporters can only watch while the drama plays out this summer in the state capitol. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And I'm Bob Moon in what can still lay claim to being the movie capital of the world. Your feedback is always welcome at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.